Hi, this is Space Kate here at IAC 2017 here in Adelaide, and I have just caught up with Carlos Alvarado, who is the president of the Central American Association for Aeronautics and Space. Tell me, what is there much space activity going on in Central America?
Thank you very much. Absolutely, it is happening, not only in Costa Rica, but also in the entire Central American region, including Guatemala, including El Salvador. The region has the ambition to attract the main actors of the space community, especially from the industry sector, to invest in our region and to create benefits. From the academia sector, there are projects that are right now developing from the public universities, and in addition, the governments, especially, for example, I can tell you that the Costa Rican government, for example, is totally committed to the space development program that the Central American Association for Aeronautics and Space and many other organizations from the public and the private sector have been, you know, building in the last 8 years when we started working in the Central American region.
And are there any like national space agencies in that region?
So far, we don't have a space agency. We are an NGO, which is very powerful. We don't call ourselves as a space agency because we are building, you know, building the foundations for the future Central American Space Agency. This is what we want to do in the framework of this international cooperation module, similar than the, for example, the European Space Agency. Of course, tropicalized and scalable to the necessities and ambition, of course, and goals that our region wants. But basically what we want to do is to create a regional body that will maximize the resources and the possibilities to get engaged in this new paradigm of technology.
And what is it, I mean, you speak very passionately about space, what is it that you think that activity in space can bring to the region?
Well, there are many applications, but in our case, for example, you can see that the forecast of the International Panel for Climate Change regarding the Mesoamerican region in the upcoming 100 years are very scary. You see, our Pacific coast, according to the forecast, are going to be almost a desert. It will be a desertic area. So we need to monitor our resources. And space technology, of course, is one of the most important allies for human beings to have more knowledge concerning climate change monitoring. That's one of the applications. That's why our satellite has a green mission. We want to monitor how much CO2 our forests are fixing right now, and what is the contribution of the Central American region to the world fixing the CO2 emissions. That's one of the applications.
This is the Costa Rican CubeSat that you're talking about, the first satellite?
Yes, it is.
For the Central American region?
Yes, it
is. When are you launching? Tell me more.
The launch will be happening the next year thanks to a cooperation agreement that we signed with Japan, with the Kyushu Institute of Technology, which is located in Fukuoka. They also have been in close coordination with the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency. So basically, Japan will be the launch partner of our satellite. That's one. And let me go back to the topic of applications, because not only for environmental reasons. For example, you can see what the tragedy that happened in Mexico a few days ago. Now they are working so hard managing this emergency that they had after the earthquake. So we in the Central American region are always, you know, having emergencies regarding these natural disasters. So space technology can help us also to thrive our capacities to manage these kind of situations. So I think this is another and very important application of space technology for a very native necessity. Probably by now we are not aiming to launch rockets. Not yet. But now we are focused on the most important necessities that we can, in the most important challenges that we can tackle through space technology, through affordable, you know, projects like, you know, using technology like CubeSats, the CubeSat standard, which is very affordable. So Central America, in general terms, it's decided and it's happening, and will be an active actor for the space community and will be engaged in this global value chain.
So, I mean, you mentioned Japan there, and I've heard of several different projects that Japan has been involved in. There's the BIRDS project with Kyushu Tech. Then there's also JAXA is working with UNOSA for the Kibo Cube thing. How important is it for an established space agency like that to be helping sort of the non-traditional countries that, you know, haven't previously had any space activity? I mean, they seem to be specifically targeting countries that haven't previously had satellites. So, I mean, they helped Ghana with their first satellite, Mongolia, Bangladesh. That was just earlier this year. I mean, how much of a difference does that make to you know, these developing space nations?
Well, for us, this kind of cooperation is critical. It's critical because, for example, without the Japanese cooperation, in our case, for the testing process, because we don't have the infrastructure for the certification of our satellite, for example. This kind of cooperation is critical because we don't have the infrastructure. And in many ways, when you are, you know, working in these kind of projects, the main constraint that you find is the lack of cooperation mechanisms to reach this kind of infrastructure, first. And secondly, you know, having access to this technology and those kind of infrastructure also in many occasions requires you to overcome other legal barriers and, you know, red tape, bureaucratic processes that are, you know, very hard for us to, you know, to overcome and to continue creating the capacity. So definitely these kind of programs are helping us to get engaged and to create capacity. But the most important thing is that countries like Japan that have been partnering with countries that never used to have a space program, and now they are actively cooperating with them, they are demonstrating that the potential of maximizing the resources and the knowledge for the world will be achievable, and for us it's a matter of survival too, and having access to space, it's a matter of democratization, it's a matter of being in the knowledge era, and of course having access to space is almost a duty for every country in order to reach the last frontier. Going to space in general terms is something that also inspires young people, high school students, for example, in our country. And only the possibility for them to think in reach of the stars is enough for them to get inspired and pursue studying a high-tech STEM career, for example, science, technology, and engineering career. And that's critical for being a developed country in the future. In our country, for example, Costa Rica is blessed because we have an astronaut. Of course, that Costa Rican was not launched from Costa Rica, but this is a Costa Rican American, Franklin Chang Diaz, who was born in Costa Rica, and he's also a U.S. citizen, and he participated in the NASA program from 1986 to 2002. He flew to space 7 times, actually, with NASA, and he's a model of inspiration for us, for our kids, for our, you know, young professionals. Everyone, when Costa Rica look at the star, thinking Franklin Chang. So think the impact that this kind of projects can have also in the entire region. You know, admiring the Latin American people that are going to space, but in addition, you know, being or feeling that it is possible, no matter if you were poor, you were born in a poor area or in a rural area, you can reach the stars. And this is something very powerful for us. And this is why, for example, the last year, when we organized the United Nations Workshop on Human Space Technology, of course, within the United Nations and the country and the government of Costa Rica, we were also maximizing the presence of the astronauts, cosmonauts, and even taikonauts that came to Costa Rica in 2016. So this is a very interesting story. We gathered them in the National Stadium of Costa Rica, and we coordinated with the Ministry of Education and the government of Costa Rica to fill the stadium with the students. So we had 10,000 students last year, inspired. You know, they were hearing the stories of all those astronauts around, including the Costa Rican American astronaut Franklin Chandia. So can you imagine, can you believe how we can now maximize that? This is something that you in the Latin American region you will find in every country. Young people will be super inspired, and they are looking forward to continue receiving this kind of benefits.
And just lastly, I mean, we talk more and more now of space exploration, the moon, Mars, beyond. It has to be a global collaborative effort. How do you see the emerging space nations being part of that collaboration and international effort to reach further than we ever have before?
Yeah, well, I think there is a challenge for everyone, because developed countries have been historically, the leaders. And I'm talking not only developed countries, the few power in the world, they have been, historically like the leaders of the topic. But for the emerging world in general terms, we feel like if we get engaged with them in the creation of capacities, we can also maximize the kind of project that they are right now doing. And also, we don't want to be only clients of those kind of technology. We want to be partners. And I think as time got,
How do you make sure you don't get left behind?
Well, we want to first, have the capacities and the critical mass of professionals that we need to create, the enough momentum to attract more actors from around the world. This is the first thing. But in general terms, for us, the role of developed space agencies is more a partnering role, an accompanying role to creating the capacity that we need in the coming years. So what is, for example, having knowledge exchange, or, for example, programs of education in the region. There are things that could be very simple, but they are symbolic, but they are very powerful in terms of impact. For example, again, a workshop that we organized last year, 10,000 students impacted. A satellite, a CubeSat satellite that will be probably in terms of money won't be more than $500,000. That is nothing compared, the space budgets. Yeah. You know very well that. So, for example, these kind of small efforts where a developed agency can do have a huge impact in our region. So, small steps, baby steps.
And big ambitions.
Being accompanied by developed space agencies, developed countries, developed economies, creating or connecting also the international value chain, the commerce and the industry of the space, it's another big opportunity for everyone to maximize, the potential of space. And of course, as human beings, continue reaching the last frontier, the stars.
Wow. Well, I mean, what passion. I think, if there's something that the more traditional space nations could take from this is the amazing passion and, the belief in the importance of inspiration that you've just expressed there. So thank you again so much for your time. And, when are we looking for your satellite? Next year?
Next year, the launching. It is not definitely set the date because, the launching window would depend on many factors. But we expect to have the launch by April or March 2018. And the deployment of the satellite by the second semester of 2018, if not by early in June.
Well, we shall certainly look out for it. Thank you again so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.